Okay. Halacha Lamed Bet, our topic is Schirat Poalim, hiring workers. Ravoy Shekola Dam Shavakesh Me'acher Shiyaseh Lo Eza Pula B'Schar. It's proper that any time you want to hire somebody else to work for you, to do any task, you want to hire a guy to paint your basement, whatever it is, Shiktzov Mimo Schar Me'acha Schirat Betila. It is proper, you're not chayev to, but it's proper that you actually set the price. Why? It might lead you to being a thief or someone who withholds wages, right? We discussed the issue of keeping wages from your worker. Unless you're willing to be mevater, you'll give in to whatever the other guy asks. It's very common. Each person thinks the other guy stole from him. Ah, Shino wrote to the Rivim, well, you don't want to fight with him, he's your friend. So, okay, I'll give in. And then you end up, one of you ends up violating this. It's very common when two people are friends, and so he thinks, he's going to give me a good price, he's my friend. And he thinks, finally, some guy who's not going to haggle over the price because he's my friend. And in the end, so you may give in, but in the meantime, one of you is feeling, that you didn't get the deal you were hoping for. So it's not a din. You don't have to set the price in advance. It's just an eitzah. I've had times where it was something, and I trusted the person, and I didn't ask the price beforehand, and my wife and I said, what's he going to do? 100 shekel, 200 shekel, whatever it is, we're going to pay him. And whatever amount he gave us, we gave. Okay, you're allowed to do that. Obviously, we'd be up the creek without a paddle if he said, okay, that's 1 million shekel. So then, we might have an issue. But we assumed we were dealing with reasonable people, and whatever the price is, we were willing to pay it. Okay, so totally allowed. You don't have to set the price beforehand. Just realize, if you don't set the price beforehand, that's where you get in trouble. Really? This is really something that costs 200 shekel. What do you mean, 300 shekel? Okay, I'm your friend, okay, 250, but really he was hoping for 300. So in the meantime, he feels that his friend, cheated him out of what he should get. Okay, so it's an issue, you could end up being on some level a gazlan. But in this halacha, also comes the going custom. In that regard, I mean, based on the industry. As in, if there's a standard price for a service, and your friend doesn't, you don't arrange for it, so you could assume you're getting the standard rate. And then, therefore, the person can't go around to change it. So in other words, if you bill according to common practice for the industry, so you could just do that. You don't, even if you didn't agree on it beforehand. So you're a lawyer, and your friend says, hey, I need a lawyer to do this contract. So I had a friend who once sent me a link to a website. I said, look, we wanted a will done. So a lachik will. So I got a will done. So I said, how much am I supposed to pay the person? He said, here's the website. Going rate for wills was, I don't even remember the number, but I'll make it up now. So don't quote me on it. But, 2,000 shekel, whatever it was. So, okay. So I found a lawyer, and 2,000 shekel later, I had a will. So, but I didn't, and it was a friend. So he's a lawyer who does other things. That's why he didn't know the going rate for wills. But and then I got the will from him. So he said, whatever the going rate is, give me. So I looked up the going rate and gave it to him. Problem solved. There was no yisurim involved. If he said to me, okay, now $10 million. Okay, then I have an issue. But if I'm willing to give the going rate, it's fine. So, but in addition to needing to charge only the going rate according to accepted practice, that's when we get in another issue. Like if you get paid by the page, so you have to make sure that you're giving him the full page. You can't adjust the margins, you can't adjust the fonts, you can't double space. I gave you 20 pages instead of 10 pages. Okay, then that is geneva. That's not just an eitza. That's stealing. And for this, it all comes to what you're. What's accepted. For example, you hire someone to tutor your kid. Okay, so he's going to sit down and learn math. Your kid's not doing so well in the math class in school, so you hire him to do the math. And you discover, you're paying him whatever it is, 100 shekel an hour to tutor your kid in math. And then you go pick up the kid from the tutor, and he's teaching four kids at once. So, did I know that he was going to it wasn't a one-on-one, so that might be a problem. If I'm assuming it's a one-on-one, and then the person, if he says to me, hey, I'll tutor your kid at the same time as somebody else. Okay, now I have an option. Do I want a group session? Do I want a one-on-one? Maybe I prefer that. Maybe my kid doesn't want one-on-one. That's all legitimate if I know about it. But if it's going to be assumed that it's one-on-one, and then it ends up, you know, three-on-one, you know, I have this issue with Israeli taxis in this country. You know, they'll bring someone else on for the ride. So you have to, if you think you're getting your own car, so then that's an issue. You know, and then he doesn't put on the meter and gives you a price. And now he's just going to collect all the money. No, well, we can split it if you want, you know, but we're not. So you have to decide those things up front. And this happens a lot in all sorts of cases. You know, those are very real examples. You know, if you tend to take rides alone, the driver can't take other passengers. If you, you know, and this happens also in halachic issues. If you, you know, let's say you're two seminary girls don't want a guy along for the ride, you know, and the driver wants to, you know, fill his car. So yeah, these things have to be cleared before they're done. And if he does it and they're uncomfortable, then he's a gazlan. So we can learn to many more cases from that. Laman Gimel. Hasocher in a poem, b'dibor bilvad. You verbally hire a worker. V'kolam shehalach ha-poel la'achil ha-malacha rotzeh po'el la'asor. But before he works, he wants to back out. So you say, tomorrow I need, you know, X done. Can you come? I'll pay you. I'll pay you $20 an hour for, you know, 5 hours of work. Come. And he says, sure. Okay. Now he wants to back out. He got a better offer. He wants to sleep late. Whatever else is going on. He has a simcha, he wants to attend, he wants to back out. Nireshim mutter ba'ofen shekal hu labala bayit l'skor po l'acher ba'oto mechir. As long as the person who's hiring can find someone else at that rate. Va'po'el chozer machmad izeh hitchatshut gedola shentav achreichin etzlo. And he's backing out because of some new circumstance. Okay? This is two ways. It's both on the employer and on the employee. Okay, and the employer decides he doesn't want to hire you. Why? Some new circumstance. He's closing the shop tomorrow because, you know, death in the family. So, okay, he can back out. But the point is, you can't just decide, okay, I'll hire you and not hire you. You know, you made a deal. Because what happens? This guy agreed to work for you tomorrow. And the next, you know, 10 minutes later, another guy comes to him and says, hey, Reuven, can you come work for me tomorrow? And he says, no, I'm already working for, you know, that guy. So then he turned down the work. And so now you're causing him a loss if you back out. So you have to keep your word, unless it's very easy. You know, if you're the employee, and the guy, you know, there's 10 guys he could hire. So you say, okay, no, I can't do it. Can you ask Shimon? And Shimon says, yes, so no problem. No problem. If it's very easy for me to, you know, I can hire you or I can hire you, and there's enough employees to go around, I just need an extra person, like if I'm a restaurant. I need an extra waiter because there's an event here tomorrow. So I call Reuven. Reuven can't do it. I call Shimon. So Reuven said yes. But he can back out if Shimon can do it. If I'm going to be stuck now without a waiter, so then it's a problem for Reuven to back out of me without, you know, onus. You know, onus is extenuating circumstances. Something, okay, then he can't be faulted. But in terms of the normal circumstances, he can't back out on that. Okay? Both ways.
The other way.
Okay, so he's counting on me to hire him. So if he knows, oh, if I don't get this job, another guy just asked me to work for him. Oh, you want to back out? Let me call that guy. If that job's still available, fine. But if that guy already filled the position, so now I'm going to be stuck if you don't hire me. So you made the deal. You need to hire him. Okay, and that's how the workers go. So, if you arrange an appointment, a doctor's appointment, or an appointment with a lawyer, so it's verbally. So if you don't go, and you don't let him out early enough, so he can fill the time slot with somebody else, that may be a chiyuv mamon. As in, I normally see 10 patients. Because of you, I only saw 9 patients. I only got paid 9x instead of 10x. So that would be a loss. You ordered a taxi, and all of a sudden a tramp pulls up. So the taxi, if the taxi didn't do anything yet, didn't come, didn't move, so okay, so nothing happened. But if the taxi is driving by all these people with their hands out waiting for taxis, because he's coming to pick you up. So now, when you say, oh, never mind, I don't need you anymore, you cause them a loss. So you can't do that, okay? If the taxi says it's going to take 5 minutes and 20 minutes you're late, that's already a different story, okay? Now, Now he's not keeping his word. But just because another ride showed up and you booked the cab, you can't back out on that. The worker's lazy, you're causing you a loss. Different circumstance. Got it? We're talking normal case. So let's give some real life examples. You know that in 3 weeks you have a simcha. So you know you're going to need a babysitter. So you call up the neighbor next door has a 16-year-old daughter who babysits. So you say, hey, Malki, can you babysit for us? And Malki says yes. Okay, and a week later, this happens a lot in Corona, the simcha gets pushed off for 2 weeks. So you say, Malki, listen, we don't need you in 3 weeks from now because there's no simcha. So that's allowed. Okay, because most babysitters, hey, don't book 3 weeks in advance. And, there's nothing happening there. It would be a bit of an issue if you called her for that night, and in 3 weeks from now, and she got five other calls, and she had to say no to them because she said yes to you already. But if it's enough time for her to find another job, or she doesn't work every night anyway, so then there's no, you didn't prevent her from finding another job. So there's no issue. You hire a piano tuner to come to your house. Okay, piano tuners, from my experience, having met all of one in my life, he doesn't work like 9 to 5, constantly tune. He does nothing all day until he gets a call for piano tuning. He comes to your house and he charges an arm and a leg, and then he doesn't work again for a while. So you call them to come at 6 p.m. Now it turns out at 6 p.m. you got to go pick up you find out in advance. This happens, that happens, there's a big sale at the store, you gotta go. So you're gonna cancel on him. So if you cancel on him, did he turn down all sorts of other customers? No. And you'll hire him the next day to tune the piano. So again, there's no loss there. Okay? What we're talking about is where you set with somebody, and then because of that, you're gonna cause them a loss if you don't keep your words. Here you're not causing him a loss. Okay, so he'll make his appointment the next day. It's not like I would tune your piano, but I'm already tuning Reuven's piano. Okay. If you call the piano tuner and he can't come at 6, you would say, okay, because you've got a job, can you come the next day? That it's not that kind of business. As opposed to the doctor's office, you have a 9 o'clock appointment, 10 o'clock, no, I'm full. In this country with sometimes socialized medicine, I'll give you an appointment 6 months from now. So okay, so you need that, so that's different. By the way, if there's a cancellation fee, then it's allowed. In other words, sometimes doctors have, if you cancel, within 48, if you cancel now, for 2 weeks from now, fine. But if you cancel within 48 hours of an appointment, there's a $50 cancellation fee. That means it's better to cancel and pay the cancellation fee. In other words, that's built into the terms. If you cancel, you pay a fee, so you let it cancel and pay the fee. Okay, that's allowed. You had a question?
Would the same thing apply if you put down a deposit beforehand?
And you can leave the deposit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole idea of deposits. Deposits are, we want you to keep your thing. If you don't, I keep your deposit. So that means that he's agreeing to terms that if you cancel, he just gets your deposit. Yes. What you're not allowed to do is demand your deposit back. You can ask for it, if he wants, if he likes you, what's your business in the future. That's his prerogative. But you can't demand it. If they tell you they accept cancellations only up to 48 hours before, and 24 hours before you did, so then you have to pay the slight fee, and that's allowed. You're allowed to back out at that point. And instead of making $1,000, he's only making the $100 cancellation fee. Okay, well, that's the terms. There are many jobs where they put in the terms of the contract, it's employment at will. At any point, we could fire you. At any point, you could quit. Okay, so then you could say, I'm not coming in tomorrow. Litro, that's in the contract. That's allowed. There are other jobs where they want you to give 2 weeks notice, or you give, they'll give you 2 weeks notice. So the same thing. They're not allowed to then say tomorrow we drove. I don't know what legally, or unless that's the standard, unless it's within the terms of the contract. But if it's expected to give 2 weeks notice, so you have to give. I got another job. So you have to give 2 weeks notice. You can say to them, hey, is it okay? And then they don't need you. Fine, but you can't just leave them in the lurch. That's this halacha. Halachically, if you show up to the doctor and he hasn't called you in after an hour, you can leave. Okay? I'm not saying legally. That's follow the rules of the local government. But halachically, you're not leaving him in the lurch if you get there and he's so backed up. And, he doesn't call you in after and you have to go somewhere. So, okay, that's not That's not called not showing up for your appointment. I mean, not showing up for his appointment. Okay, let's move to our next topic is workers. Being a worker, having workers. Poholim. Asur l'amidala. Asur l'pol askir al tzomu l'acha sheyesh bo iser avera. It should be very obvious. You can't sell merchandise. You can't work in a job that involves an avera. You can't work selling chametz for a non-Jew. Lamed hey, muzhar apoel shelo yevatel ma'ad kan u'ma'ad kan el chayav didaktek al atzmo v'zman. The worker is warned that he shouldn't be wasting time here and there. Now that doesn't mean that any break you take is usher. It's accepted in a company that you may make a cup of coffee every hour or so, whatever the norm is. But if it's, when you make your cup of coffee, you're going to sit around and make a phone call and then go smoke a cigarette, which is usher anyway, but I mean the time involved. And then the guy paid you for 5 hours of work and essentially got 1 hour of work out of you, so then you've stolen from him. Okay? So that would be considered an avera. Even if you use the time to do a mitzvah, you go make a cup of coffee and you sit down and do the daf yomi on company time. Mitzvah baba avera. Okay, that's not allowed. You can't do your own personal work on company time. It's a little bit older, but it used to be that phone calls cost the company money. Now they get a company rate, so it's not as much of an issue using the phone. Okay, find out the details before you do it. But in other words, I worked in IT, and I know what phone plans were for the companies I worked for and the companies I serviced. Okay, they didn't pay more for any phone call. So you can make, I'm not saying on company time, but in other words, if you wanted to stay at 5, 6 p.m. after work and make a phone call, you were not stealing from the company in any way. Okay, that was, but this book's a little bit older, and phone calls, every phone call they used to, another quarter or nickel or whatever it was, so then you would be stealing from the company if you called your house, your wife, your sister. You could ask permission. You don't have to go to the CEO, you can ask your boss. This is something I am personally proud of. When I was working in computers, it was about a week into my job. I wanted to print something, I needed a schedule or something, and I went to my boss and I said, am I allowed to print for personal use? My boss was not Jewish in any way. The company owner was Jewish, but I'm saying my direct boss was non-Jew. And he said to me, you're the first person who's ever asked. So I felt that was a Kiddush Hashem, and I'm very proud of it. It's one of my proudest Kiddush Hashems. And he went and found out, and he said, yeah, as long, reasonable, don't start printing textbooks. But, if you need one page here, one page there, the company allows it, no problem. So fine, so then I'm allowed. It's not stealing if they let you. Okay? But you have to find out, you have to ask. Okay, if they let you. Sometimes there's company perks. They'll look, work for us, and all your photocopies are on us. Okay. I did work for one place that there was, I don't remember, it was free FedEx or UPS or something, because they had a company something. So, okay, great. There are perks in places. You get a company car, and you can use it for whatever you want on weekends. During 9 to 5, the company uses it, but you're allowed to take it home and go for a drive. Okay, so then you're allowed. What you're not allowed to do is if the company car is meant for company work and then go use it for something personal. Okay? Using company resources for personal use is stealing unless you're allowed to, then it's not stealing. Okay? That should be as simple as it is. If you want to arrange a shiur, even if it's for Torah, so you want to make phone calls. Reuven, can you come tonight? Shimon, come. You have to ask your boss. I'm organizing Torah. No. Your boss wants you to work. And you ask your boss, can I take 5 minutes to make some personal calls? And he lets you? Fine, but you can't just assume to do that. This comes up with sick days. Some companies are very mocked on sick days. You have to bring a doctor's note and this and that. So then you're not allowed to use a sick day for a vacation day. There are other companies that say, if you have 17 sick days, as long as you don't abuse it, to take more than that, so then you get them all you want. And so if you're feeling a little unwell, you can just not, call in and tell us. Or they'll say, everybody has 2 weeks vacation and 2 weeks sick days, which really means you have 4 weeks vacation. Use them any way you want, for sickness, for going to the Bahamas, whatever it is. So if that company says that to you, It's allowed. Okay? It's only not allowed if they say, no, these are sick days, these are vacation days. Taking a sick day as a vacation day would then be stealing. But you don't have to be like dying in bed on a respirator to use a sick day. You know, you're not feeling well today. Okay, mental health is already a little bit of a shiloh. I don't know the answer. The Sefer Hasidim says you shouldn't call somebody else while they're at work, because you're wasting his boss's time, unless you know he has permission to talk on the phone when, you know, as much as he wants. Okay, Lamed Vav. Ein apol rashay lasot melacha b'layla u'laskir atzmo b'yom. You have a 9-to-5 job. That 9-to-5 job means that you have to work 9-to-5. He expects you to have slept through the night. He expects you to have not been up all night partying and working, you know, all night long. So then you come into the office, you're exhausted, falling, you know, head bopping at the desk because you're falling asleep because you're up all night. You have a hangover because you drank so many l'chaims the night before. He wants an employee who's going to be able to do the job. So if you can't have a night job and do a day job, unless it's, you know, accepted in a certain kind of, you know, there's people who work 9-to-5 in one job and they'll wait tables at night because they need the extra money. And, you know, as long as everybody's on board with it, it's fine. You can't fast and you can't all sorts of inuyim and I'm an ascetic and I'm not going to, and then you're going to be, you know, weak and not as helpful as a worker. He's hiring a guy who's going to work at full strength. So you can't just decide to stay up all night. I have a new thing. I don't sleep. I only sleep 2 hours a night now because I'm a, you know, such a tzaddik trying to become the grub, not by being a masmin, but by not sleeping. So I'm gonna, you know, then you come in and you're a terrible employee, okay? And then it can be, you know, even worse. You're a teacher of children and you come in so tired and you're not gonna do a job. Okay? It's a little bit different if you're a contractor. You're paid by the job. You're self-employed. So, you know, if you do inferior work, you won't get hired, you know, and if you're tired and you take a nap, so it's just going to take you longer, and it's not at somebody else's expense. Okay. But if you're expected to do a certain amount of hours, a certain amount of output that person expects from you, with reasonable breaks, you know, an occasional cup of coffee, a lunch break, whatever it is, so then that's what you're expected to do, and if you're not allowed to stay all night. Okay, so then one night, your cousin's wedding far away, and, you know, or here in Alochua, your cousin's wedding in Tel Aviv, and you want to go and stay till the end. You're exhausted the next day. Is that okay? So once in a while is generally accepted, as in people know that people have the occasional wedding. But all the time is you know, not allowed. If you're going to start fasting Ba'av every other month, so then it's going to probably affect your work. You're also not allowed to accept a conflict of interest position. If you're a jeweler for one place, you can't be a jeweler. You know, if you collect tzedakah, your job is a tzedakah collector for one place. You can't go collect tzedakah for a different place. That's not going to work. But you know, totally different things. Like I said, waiting tables while you're a teacher or whatever else. There's no conflict of interest there. Yeah.
The same apply if you're employed by someone for a general job, but part of it is in competition with your other.
I don't know. What does that mean?
As in, like, for example, my dad's a mashiach, and part of his job is to deal with meat at one of the grocery stores. But he also brings in his own meat.
Meaning, can he mashkiach at two different places? That's already accepted. A lot of mashkiachim take a job on 9-to-5 here and, you know, 8 to 10 there. You know. And because you're telling him his food's kosher, you're telling him his food's kosher, they're not. They may be competing because he's, you know, if you don't buy meat from me, you're going to buy meat from him. But that, in other words, it's not that you're going to start selling meat and undercutting him or, you know, in any way. So that's not the same as being, you know. If you're going to give away insider secrets, Reuben was selling the meat for $5.99 today, you should lower your price. Okay, then they may have an issue. But if, you know, there's a. I did work in high school as a mashkiach kashrus at pizza stores and things, and so there were a bunch of mashkiachim who worked one day at this restaurant, one day at that restaurant, and everybody needed a mashkiach. Whoever was available, they got. You know, it's like so. It's not you worked for that guy now I'm going bankrupt. That's not how it works. There's no issue working for two different restaurants. Let's do one last one. Lamed Zayin. If a person has an employee, the employee is not performing, so he wants to fire him. You can try and get his job. We've discussed trying to replace somebody, trying to get hired by somebody instead of somebody else and trying to get them fired. That's bad. But you know this owner is looking to replace this employee. He doesn't like this employee. You know, you work in a company and there's different positions and you see that the boss doesn't like one guy. So you might let him, you know, and you're in different departments. You're in the IT and he's in accountants. And so you might be like, oh, I took accounting, you know, like I'm also certified. Whatever job it is, I'm qualified for that. So you can let him drop the hint. You can let him know, oh, I'm so good with customers. You know, you can advertise yourself as great. Certainly, if the owner says, hey, do you want to do this job? You don't have to say no. You can say yes if you want to do that job. Just letting everybody know that you're easy to work with, pleasure to deal with, provide great customer service. Even though it's possible that someone will hear about you and fire his employee, as long as you're not specifically attempting to get the employee fired to take his job, you are allowed to generally advertise that you are available for hire, available for a certain position, interested in a certain position. You know, if let's say you're working at a company and you start putting out on your LinkedIn that you're looking for a job in X. So your car company, any other company sees that and goes, oh, maybe we want you for X. And they have a guy who's working at X and they fire him and take you. So that's their prerogative. You were going to work here or any other company. You're not specifically trying to get an employee fired, that is totally allowed. So we will pick up with Balei Batim next time.